Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
In Revelation 19, we ended in verse number 11. So let's pick up reading in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flames of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to see something. And this is going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I know we're short on time, and so I want to get right to it here this morning. And so there's several things that I want to look at this passage of Scripture. And this is important, even as we look at Missions Emphasis Month, because this is what it's really all about, church. It's about the fact that Jesus Christ, he's coming. And we have an opportunity between now and the time that he comes for his bride, the rapture of the church, the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he comes in his millennial reign. We have an opportunity to get the gospel out. And each week, we're going to have missionaries that are going to be here that's going to share their burden like we heard today. And their burden is this, as they're meeting the physical needs of people. What an amazing thing to help young children get into homes and clothed and in food. And what we saw up there, the little caption that each of them would say, I have someone that loves me, somebody's tucking me in at night. What an amazing thing. All of those things are wonderful, and all of those things are amazing. But what I love about this family's passion, what I love about their goal is it's not just to feed a child, or it's not just to clothe a child, it's not just to put a child in a home or get a child out of a dangerous situation, but it's to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to that family as well. Because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that is going to change a person. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again that gives us the passion that we have. It's the fact that Christ is going to return that ought to give us the fire inside of us that we know that we've got work to do. This is what motivates us to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, even in difficult times, as the world gets worse and worse, as the world around us just gets chaotic and seemingly out of control. What keeps a Christian stable, what keeps us focused, is the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. And what we find in this passage of Scripture, look again in verse number 11 with me. What we find in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says, John says this, and I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he doth judge and make war. John is looking into heaven as he is seeing the future unfold and the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this, that he looks into heaven and he sees heaven open. And as he sees heaven open, he sees Jesus Christ coming on that white horse. I want you to write this down. Jesus Christ is coming literally or visibly. He is literally coming again. This is an event that's going to happen. This is not just a type. This is not just something that there's maybe more of a spiritual issue here. No, this is a literal, physical, visible event. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. The Bible tells us this in Revelation chapter number 1, if you flip back there for me, Revelation 1 verse number 7, the Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." This is something visible. This is literal. Jesus Christ is coming again. And the Bible says, "Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds in the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." We find here in the book of Revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ, he's literally, he's visibly, he's coming again. He's coming back with great power. He's coming back with great glory. He's coming back with great majesty. Now, there's two parts of this that I want us to see here today, because it can be somewhat confusing. And I'm going to give you some scripture. And because of time, I'm not going to go to every one of these scriptures. But you write it down in your notes, and you go study these. Because some would say this, isn't his coming as a thief in the night? Or isn't it more of a mystery? Isn't he supposed to be coming like secretly? No man knows the day or the hour. And in this passage of scripture, it says that he's coming back and everyone's going to see him. He's coming back in power and in glory. And the answer to that is both yes. Because we've got to understand, as he's coming again, there's two parts that we've been studying where Christ is coming in. The first one is the rapture. So before the tribulation begins, Christ is coming, but he's not coming back to this earth. He's coming back in the clouds. The trump is going to sound. Christ is going to come into the clouds, and we're going to meet Christ. The Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise, and those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds with him. So we're going to meet. This is the rapture. This is when Jesus is coming for his bride. But then the second coming of Jesus Christ, or the revelation that we are reading here in Revelation chapter 19, this is he's coming with his bride. So the first is the rapture. He's coming for his bride. The second coming here that we're reading of is he's coming back. So after that 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ is literally, he's visibly coming back. The earth is going to see it. The world is going to see it. All the people are on this earth are going to see Jesus Christ is coming again. And as Jesus comes this time, the Bible says that we are coming with him. The armies of heaven, we're coming back with him. This is the revelation. This is him coming back with his bride. In 2 Thessalonians 2:1, the Bible says the church is going to be gathered unto him at the rapture. In Revelation 19:14, as we read, the Bible says this, that we're going to come back with him. This bride is coming back with him. In 1 Corinthians 15:51-52, the Bible says this, there's a mystery and it's not revealed. That is what the mystery, the rapture is a mystery. We don't read of that in the Old Testament. So Paul speaks of this mystery here that the New Testament church, it's been revealed or introduced to them, and that's the rapture. The Old Testament, they knew that Christ was coming. They were prophesying of the return of Christ. They prophesied that Christ was coming again, but they didn't understand the rapture of the church. In Matthew 24:27, Jesus says this, he's coming suddenly. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. In Matthew 25:6, the Bible says he's coming sweetly as a bridegroom cometh. In 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, the Bible describes him coming as a sovereign king. And if you look at all of these things, you say, I don't understand. Is he coming secretly? Is he coming publicly? Is he coming as a softly? Or is he coming back with vengeance? Why does it seem like he's coming and they're contradicting? They're not contradicting at all. It's speaking of the rapture of the church when he comes for his bride. He's coming as a thief in the night. No man knows the day or the hour. He's coming to get his bride. But when he comes back the second time, the second coming, he's coming back as king. He's coming back with vengeance. He's coming back to rule and to reign. First, he comes for his church, the rapture. Revelation 19, he's coming with his church. This is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ, one thing I want you to understand, and this would change preaching through 1 Thessalonians on Wednesdays. This thought, I told our church on a Wednesday, this thought would change everything about us. It would change what we do. It would change how we think. It would change where we found ourselves. It would change what we were involved in. And that would be this: if every single day we lived like Jesus Christ was coming back at that moment. But I want you to understand something, church. There is nothing preventing Jesus Christ from coming back at this very moment. There's nothing. He can return at any time. There's no prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing else that needs to transpire. Everything is set. You mark it down. You nail this down. Jesus Christ, he can come for his bride at any moment. And my question to you is this: are you ready? Are you living like he can return? Oh, listen to me this morning. On your way to church, the conversation you had with your wife, the conversation you had with your kids this morning at that breakfast table, your thoughts, the things you're consumed with, are you living like Jesus Christ can come at any moment? Are you ready to meet him? Because he can and he will. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 24 that no man knoweth the day nor the hour. The church will not go through this great tribulation because of the rapture, the Lord's coming back. We will be caught up in heaven with him. Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 11, he's coming suddenly. We will not experience his wrath. The Bible says in Revelation 3, 10 to the church, that he's going to keep them from temptation or keep them from this wrath, this terrible time. This is the guarantee. This is the wonderful thing the church has. Now, will we suffer persecution? Yes, the church has over the centuries. Are we going to suffer problems? Yes, and we have and we will. But what we won't suffer is the wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon this world. God took Lot out of Sodom before the fire and the judgment came. God put Noah on the ark. I mean, closed the door before the flood waters came. And God is going to allow his son to come for his church before God's wrath is poured out and his judgment is poured out through the tribulation. So first of all, I want you to see, as we see in Revelation 19, that Jesus, literally, he's coming again. Number two, I want you to see this. Jesus is coming with great victory. He's literally coming. And when he comes this second time, he's coming with great victory. Look again in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." He came the first time. When he came into Jerusalem, he was riding on a borrowed mule. But this time when he comes, this white horse is a sign of victory. It's a sign of conquest. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I want you to see here he's coming. He's coming with great victory. We see the mastery of his conquest. He's coming on this white horse. This white horse is a symbol of victory. This white horse is a symbol of conquest. The Bible tells us in verse number 12, we see the mystery of his character. I love this. The Bible says, and he has a name that no one knows. He has a name, the Bible tells us, that is above every name. His name is Jesus Christ. You know, there is no name like Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. His name is above the highest. It's higher than the highest. It's greater than the greatest. There is no other name above heaven that men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful name that is. The mystery of his character is found in his name. The Bible tells us this as well in verse number 12. We see the majesty of his coronation in the many crowns. These aren't earthly crowns. These are crowns that are made in heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the quality of what's made in heaven? He's coming back with crowns. This shows his authority, not just a crown. Listen, when he was here upon this earth, they took a crown of thorns and they mocked him and they placed that crown of thorns upon his head and they put a sign above him that said, King of the Jews. They mocked him. They dressed him in this purple robe and mocked him and spit upon him and made fun of him. But when Jesus Christ comes this time, he's coming on a white horse to show his conquest. He's coming a name above every other name, a name that's higher than every other name, a name that's greater than every other name. He's coming back with crowns upon his head. He's coming back with great authority. He's coming back with great power. He is coming again. The first time they've spit upon him, this time they will fall at their feet and worship him. The Bible tells us this, not only is he coming with the mastery of his conquest, the mystery of his character, the majesty of his coronation. I want you to see as well in verse number 13, the Bible says he's coming back with the ministry of his crucifixion. Look with me, read with me in 13, if you would please. The Bible says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, there are some that believe this, that vesture that's dipped in blood is the blood of his enemies. I don't believe that that is speaking of the blood of his enemies. I believe that's speaking, that's a reminder of Calvary. His vesture that's dipped in blood is the blood that he shed for you and for me. Oh, I love singing songs about the power in the blood, don't you? There's power, power, power in the blood. Oh, listen to me today. There's this is an emblem of his sacrifice on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us strength, that gives us power, that gives us healing. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us whiter than snow. And when he comes back, he's coming back with the ministry of his crucifixion. The victory over the Antichrist is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. What is the hope for the world? The hope for the world is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What we saw this morning, what is the hope for these families? The hope for these families is not America. The hope for this family is not science. The hope for these families is not politics. The hope for these families are not social reform. The hope for these families is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The hope for us in this nation is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, what's coming up in November in our country is not going to heal our nation. The precious blood of Jesus Christ is what's going to heal this nation. And Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back with his robe dipped in that blood. It's dipped in the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all of the world's problems. If you're sitting here today and you're overwhelmed, if you're sitting here today and you feel lonely and you feel lost and you feel unloved and you feel worthless, I want you to know that you are special in the sight of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He gave of himself. He shed his blood just for you. And every single sin that you've ever committed, every single sin you ever will commit, it is under the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. There's power. We see the ministry of the crucifixion. We see Jesus Christ is coming. Thirdly and lastly here this morning, we see that he's coming in vengeance. Look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says this, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Who is clothed in white linen, white and clean? That's you and that's me. That's those that have been raptured. We're coming back with him. White horses, can you see it? Heaven's opened up and Christ, the victor, is coming. And behind the victor is his bride, you and I. We're coming back to this earth as he is coming in vengeance. The Bible says this, we followed upon him in white horses. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which if it should be smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, listen to me today. God is just. And because he's just, God must punish sin. And he's coming back in fierceness and wrath. There are some that preach a gospel of just love. There are some that just preach wrath. But the whole gospel is the love of God and the wrath of God. That's the whole gospel. It's not just one. There are some that get offended when you preach hellfire and brimstone. There are some that get offended if you just preach the love of God. The reality is this, the truth is it's both. If you refuse the love of God, you are going to face the wrath of God. If you're here today and you are listening to my voice or watching this video or seeing this service today and you reject the blood of Jesus Christ, you reject what Jesus Christ has done for you, you reject the gift of salvation, you will experience the wrath of God. The love of God is the fact that he loved you, that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sin debt. But oh, you mark it down, God, because he's just, he must punish sin. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the Bible says he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Jesus is the righteous judge, and he is going to make all things right. And he's going to do that through vengeance. When Jesus Christ comes again, this second coming of Jesus Christ, he's coming back, literally, the Bible says. He's visually, he will be, every eye is going to see him. He is coming back to this earth. He is coming back victoriously. He is coming back with vengeance. Would you go with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 40. The king is coming. Have you ever had company come to your house? How many of you like it when people show up unannounced? Anybody like that? My wife doesn't. My wife likes to know who's coming when they're coming. I learned, don't just show up at the house with somebody. It makes for a long evening when that person leaves. My wife, who I don't understand, I think she keeps a beautifully neat home. But when someone is coming, everybody in the house does their part to make sure everything's right. How many of you are like that? If you're having company the day before, it's cleaning day. Whenever my in-laws come to stay, it's the day before, it's cleaning. Anytime someone's coming over the day before, it's cleaning. She likes to be prepared. How many of you like to be prepared? I like to be prepared. Isaiah chapter 40. The king is coming. You see, in these days, what they would do is when a king was going to come to visit, they would prepare a way for the king to come. You know, today, someone of royalty could just get an airplane and land. And back in these days, they had to make a way for the king to come. He's coming from a long distance. And they wanted to ready for this king because they wanted to see the king. In these days, it wasn't as you just turn on the TV and get a picture of the king. It wasn't that you went to the internet and you could find out things. No, when the king was going to come visit you, this might be the one and only time you get a chance to see the king. And the king had to get there. And the king wasn't going to go over dangerous land, so the preparation had to be made. And look what the Bible says here in verse number 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. This was in preparation for the king. Listen to me, I said to you to start this out, you mark it down. If you miss nothing, everything today, don't miss this, that Christ is coming again. And I want to challenge our church today with this fact that Christ is coming again. So prepare for his coming. There are some things in our lives today. There are some areas in our lives, some valleys in our lives. There's some low places in our lives. It needs to be brought up. Why? To make way for the king to come. There are some high places that need to be made low. Maybe there's some pride in your life that needs to be made low. Maybe there are some areas in your life, some haughty places in your life, some high places in your life that you need to humble yourself. Why? Because the king is coming. The Bible says here in Isaiah 40, make way, prepare a way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway, a way for him to come. In that way, crooked places need to be made straight. Maybe there's some crooked places in your life, Christian, that need to be made straight. Maybe there's some dishonesty in your life that needs to be made straight. Maybe there's some untruth that you need to get right with God. Christ is coming again. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, the church is going to be found sleeping. I said this to my wife this past week. My fear is this, and I'm seeing it happen so often. We are making decisions as Christians out of our own opinions. We're making decisions out of our own logic. We're making decisions and out of our own pride. We are failing when it comes to letting the Spirit of God lead us. Our young people don't know what it's like to listen to the voice of God. The reason why is they don't see it in their homes. Every young person ought to know and sense and feel the Spirit of God working in their home because their parents are listening to the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're waiting for the king to come. We can't do this work. We're not going to reach this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own resources, in our own flesh, with our own desires, with our own wisdom, with our own opinions. We need the power of God. We're not going to raise young people to love the Lord and serve the Lord by reading parenting books and getting opinions and doing it our way. We need the power of God. We're not going to see God use our church the way that he wants to use our church without the power of God. You're not going to be the husband that God desires for you to be and the wife that God desires for you to be by your opinion and by your will and by your pride and by your sin. We need the power of God. We need the Spirit of God. We're going to meet the needs of this young lady without the power of God. We're not going to help those two little babies without the power of God. Those pictures that Brother Shirley put up, that work seems impossible without the power of God. Half this world sits without knowing who Jesus is. I think of Hong Buer, and I think of the sons. The country they love, the family they love. Back home in China, many of them sit without even hearing the name Jesus Christ. How are they going to know without the power of God? If your family sat in a country where the gospel was illegal and the gospel wasn't preached, you'd want a church to be filled with the power of God. If you were a young girl that
growing up in a culture where young girls are sold for their bodies so their parents can have money to eat. You'd want a church that was filled with the power of God. Crooked places made straight. Rough places made plain. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall and hill shall be made low. Every crooked place made straight. And every rough place made plain. Because the King is coming. There's a work for us to do. And we'll never do it without yielding to the Spirit of God. We'll never do it if our opinions matter more than the Spirit of God. We'll never do it if we're full of pride. We'll never do it if we have unconfessed sin. We'll never do it if we're dishonest. My prayer today is that we would ready ourselves, because Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back literally. He's coming back victoriously, and he's coming back with vengeance. In church, are you ready?
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org, and we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church podcast.